12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Welcome to The Candlestick Crimes, a Swords of the Serpentine actual play brought to you by 12-Sided Stories. This is a story-heavy, rules-light tale full of action, adventure, and ribaldry. So sit back and enjoy this swashbuckling tale.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Candlestick Crimes, episode number 2. My name is Wes Otis. This is our Sword and Serpentine actual play, and I have some amazing players with us. Let us start with B.
Hello, hello. My name is B. Zelda. My pronouns are they, them, and I am coming to y'all playing Mirko, the thief who has a wonderfully flamboyant hat and is an excellent, excellent individual at breaking in, less so at breaking out.
Hi, I'm Kate Purcell. My pronouns are she and they, and I'm playing Vimond, who is very sneaky, apparently not so athletic, but has some new rings.
Hi, everybody. Candace Magnificent here. They, she, playing Tessa, who is the muscle, also they, she.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I am playing Reginald, or Reg, he, him.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
Awesome. This is a good place for a recap. The last time we got together, you all were breaking into a tavern. It was the Barnished... What was it, B?
the Burnished Brioche.
The Burnished Brioche. Say that 6 times fast. At least I know I can't. And a woman named Eva, who runs the place, had taken a signet ring from Tommy Sage, who is this nobility kind of sniveling guy who's very much a mother's boy, we'll say it that way. Loves his mother very much, not really, but lost his signet ring and hired you all to get it back. While Tessa was in the front of the establishment talking with Eva and trying to distract her from what was going on in the office, the other three, Mirko, Vimond, and Reginald, snuck in, were able to avoid Tiger the Cat, who is 20 years old, blind, and not named very originally, and got to the safe, was able to get the signet ring out, as well as a bag of rings that were connected to fingers. They took the rings, Vimond took all of the rings off the fingers, and Jay could hear the sound of the ghosts that were connected to the rings, and some of them were very posh and upset. That's when Eva also started to hear the rings, because there's a connection between the two, and she commanded the tavern be quiet. Everyone in back heard this, and Tessa knew something out front was up as well. Luckily, Reginald got out with no problem. Then Vimond decided to run through it, jumping through the window like a blindfolded gazelle, and just landed on their back and went straight through the pier because it's really wet and not great. You need a little bit of finesse, and broke the thing and kind of dipped into the water a bit. Meanwhile, poor Mirko is still in the room as Eva is starting to rush across the tavern floor to get to the door. And Tessa, you are standing there watching this unfold. That is where we're at. Who wants to go first?
Me.
Okay. So we will say right now, even though you're not officially in combat, we will call this combat just in case. Go for it, Mirko. What are you going to do?
Okay, so I have some logistical questions about this safe. When we, especially particularly Reginald, you grabbed the items, you probably wouldn't have closed the safe. Would Vimond have?
I think Vimond, especially because they were hearing things in their head, wanted to muffle it as much as possible. And also they do have a lot of stealth and burglary, so you don't want to leave evidence. So I genuinely believe they would have closed it.
Okay, fair, because if that was left open, there's no matter what I do, that's a hard thing to deny. All right. So in this situation, I'm thinking if I could use a point of preparedness. I have this hand saw that is, conveniently tucked in my wrist, very Assassin's Creed style. But the purpose is to, it's for cutting wood. It's like one of those with like a lot of teeth. And it's
serrated.
That's the word. Thank you. And it's so I could cut a hole in this floor and squeeze my body into the disgusting swamp water and hide.
Forever now known as the Wile E. Coyote move.
Absolutely.
I think that's a wonderful use of an investigation point. So yeah, you start sawing as quick. And like I said, because it's wet, you saw through it real quick and you dunk down into it. Who do you pick to go next?
Ooh, I need to know what Tessa is doing.
Tessa yells, "Oh, that's not for the lady of the bar to do. Do you want me to go and check it out? I have backup." She has like a big axe that she kind of keeps strapped to her back, and she kind of takes it out and brandishes it.
You have trustworthiness. Do you want to use that point to persuade them to let you do that?
I sure do.
All right.
I get like my sweetest Puss in Boots eyes. And like I put on my most dashing smile. It really takes a lot, I think, because they don't like to like lie to people, but recognize that this is to save their thief community. So they're like, this is the job.
She stops a few feet and she goes, "See, this is how you treat a woman. You do something for them when they need it to be done instead of just guzzling down their beer and throwing up on their floorboards. Yes, I will take you up. I have things I would like to do. I will sit here and watch you work. Go ahead."
"All right. No problem." And I think Tess makes like a big muscle and kind of just like flashes a smile at all the dudes that are sitting there like loafs.
Most of them have a dour look on their face, like a Harley Davidson commercial. But one guy has a very big smile on his face and kind of winks at you.
Yeah, I roll my eyes before going to investigate the noise and warn my companions to get the fuck out of here because they're being really fucking sloppy.
Okay. So you stop over there, open the door?
I think I creak it first, like I crack the door just to make sure that I know what I'm getting into. I know what's behind the door, obviously, but I don't want her to think that I know what's in there. So I just kind of crack it open, look around, give like a scowl, and then open it up and go inside. And kind of use my body as like a shield so that people can't see like what's in front of me.
Awesome. So you do all that and you open the door and you see this orange cat sitting at the edge of a comically perfect circle cut in the bottom of the floorboards and nothing else in the room. Everything is shut. There's nobody there.
When I look down into the floorboard, do I see Mirko there?
No, it's way too dark and they're in a swamp.
Okay. So I think I just go and like kick the floorboard back, like the piece back into place and see if there's like a rug, like anywhere that I can just move forward a little bit to kind of cover that.
I think for story reasons, yes.
I make a whole production of looking under the bed, checking the closet, looking out the window, all that stuff.
Close the window. Close the window.
Yeah. Pick up the cat as I close the window and start talking to it. "Hi. You're so cute. Look at you. Such a troublemaker. Oh my God." And then I bring him out and I kind of brandish him at Eva. "I think this is your culprit right here."
"Oh, Tiger. Did you get in trouble?"
"I think so. Honestly, I think the only crime here is how cute he is, right?"
"Yes, yes. Well, thank you for your help. Why are you all still being quiet? Go back to drinking and spending money." And everybody kind of goes back into what they're doing. Who would you like to go next?
I would like to know what Wymond is doing with these fucking rings. Are they, like, still talking to you? Like,
Wymond, you have found yourself not completely submerged. Your leg is hooked up onto part of the deck, and you can barely see a little light ahead of you because it is dark and there are some lamps out, but it's not very bright. You can feel the swamp water in your nose and your hair, and you hear over the bitching of the rings. There's a new movie for you. what are we doing in here? Oh my God, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you hear your mother's voice very clearly.
You are supposed to be so much more than this. And here we are.
Not another word.
Oh, I have some words, young lady.
Not another word.
Would you get out of the water, please?
Just muttering.
You don't want your legacy to be kelp.
You see a thousand retortions come to their face, and they swallow them all because they know better. They're not going to win this. And yeah, one hand on a soggy plank, other hand clutched very tightly around the signet rings, and they try to haul themselves up and out.
You don't have a problem hauling yourself up and out, luckily. And you kind of flop over in front of Reginald, who is standing there. Reginald, you're the last person. What do? You see Vyman trying their best to gracefully get out of the water.
You know that dignity when someone knows they've lost their dignity, so they are looking at nothing, like determined looking at nothing. Yeah, it's that.
I just grab Vyman's coat and just lift him up. And I go, it's all right. Let's go get you cleaned up.
There's a long pause, and their mouth moves a couple times before finally just go, thank you. Stand up and try to brush swamp water off their very nice coat.
It's like trying to empty the sea. It's you do it, and you're just wet, and it's seeped into like your any leather accoutrement you might have, and everything is just gross. If you move your sword a little bit, you can see the water that has filled up in the scabbard, and you have to kind of empty it out.
Yeah, Reginald would see they pull out this horribly battered, dinged scabbard and turn it upside down, and they pull the rapier out just a little bit, and you get a flash of one of the best maintained pieces of equipment you have ever seen. As they quickly just try to empty it out, they're going to have to spend time cleaning it later, and they jam it back into this ratty scabbard and put it back. Let's go.
We need to find Mirko.
Okay, so yeah, I think it's a good time to find out what Mirko is doing.
Does Eva have a turn in this?
No, because I'm going to say that the cat neutralized Eva.
Tessa, MVP.
MVP.
So we're out of like combat. Now it's just role play and figuring out what you're each going to be doing. Because you've neutralized Eva for now until she accidentally steps through that fucking hole and goes thigh deep in it.
Oh,
will happen.
Oh, it'll be so comical, but so sad.
Tommy Sage is effed.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you played your hand and told you who your client was.
I mean, he'll have his ring back, so.
Yeah, we did our job.
I'm not saying Eva's not going to come back.
No. I mean, not to me. I was very trustworthy.
Absolutely.
You were. You spent a point. So, Mirko, you are underneath the office. You are swimming kind of around.
Yeah. I'm going to do, like, that under ice thing where you're just, like, swimming around, touching the top, looking for a hole, and, like, breathing in gross pockets of air.
Yeah.
Is there a world in which they saw part of a submerged Vyman, or, like, the water is super distant? Because I imagine Vyman hit and, like, laid there a second, just, like...
Yeah, I think so. We'll say that. You see the repercussions of the mistake as the water waves and there's kind of this movement of sediment and goo and all this other stuff you're swimming through.
Oh, yeah. It's thick.
Yeah, it's thick. And it does not smell good.
Water mm-hmm. you can chew.
Water you can chew. It's Ankh-Mor pork water, basically. Ooh. So for those of you who read Terry Pratchett's Discworld, you make your way over to the pier and you can see the hole where Vyman fell through and then pulled themselves back up out of. And a couple of moments later, you go up through that hole and find yourself on the deck next to Vyman, who is wringing out their clothes.
The sludge monster pulls itself out.
Yeah. The rapier is half out and then like a head tilt of confusion. Fire you in the water.
Bonjour. Hello again. Like they'll kind of pull themselves out until they can flop on the ground like a wet fish.
Diamond will help.
Yeah, I help Mirko up.
Merci. Okay, I think once we gather our last member, that's mission accomplished. We'll look at, they'll start trying to like squeeze out their clothing.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, big. It's like tomato paste. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to like squeeze pudding out of a shirt.
Tapioca.
Yeah. Yeah. Vimond is deliberately ignoring the fact that they are dripping. Like, it's like, if I don't acknowledge it, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just kind of has that kind of guilty look, and then like, apologies, that was not well done on my part.
Oh no, I mean, it's not the break in unless we break some of ourselves, and then in this case, it's everything we were wearing, and this is why I keep my hair short. They're like squeezing the pudding like viscous liquid out of the hair.
Oh. This is why I usually stick to grifting. I don't do these jobs much.
I can see the benefits, Reginald. Do you have a tissue? I could wipe my face.
I don't think a tissue's gonna do much, mate.
No, that's correct.
Let's find a place to clean up, get your clothes washed.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta get Tessa out of that bar.
We could say at this point that Tessa, if you want, you could have just like kind of made your way out and made your way around to the others.
Yeah, I feel like I chugged my bread, thanked the lady, gave her a tip because her cat was cute, to just kind of solidify that bond. I probably kicked the chair of the person who dared to wink at me and then left. And I imagine I would have gone kind of like looking around, doing my patented whisper.
Hi. All right, you guys. I don't know where you are. It's me, Tessa. Hello.
Now, Tessa thinks that they are being quiet.
So quiet.
They are not as quiet as they like to think sometimes.
If anybody notices me, I'm like, what are you doing? Mind your fucking business.
People trying to go in and out of the bar, staring at you, obviously. Like,
what is this person doing?
I'm calling for my cat. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Move on, please.
I give a quick whistle.
Yeah, I think that makes her shut up quickly, and then they kind of, like, look around and make sure no one's, like, looking at them. And if anybody is, they try to, like, lose them before doubling back, but if no one's really around, then they just go directly to their friends.
Awesome.
And I imagine you can smell us before you see us.
It's worse at the Tango because they just throw garbage in the water and stuff.
But we also stirred it up.
You stirred it up.
And brought it up.
And we're wearing it. It tastes so bad.
So let's jump forward to the next night. You meet each other at the Red Pig to talk with Tommy. You're in fresh, clean clothes after a lot of time in a bathhouse, getting cleaned off, paying for extra soap and that kind of thing.
Just walking into the bath fully clothed.
Just belly flop.
Yeah, basically. Probably went to a washerwoman and got your clothes all taken care of. And you make your way out to the Red Pig. Now, the Red Pig is kind of a famous place in Eversink, at least in my version of Eversink. And it was destroyed a couple of years ago by a huge, giant storm that was literally the shape of a person. And has been the scene of an assassination attempt and some other things that have gone on. So it's pretty well known as a place to hang out. And you get there and you see the table of Tommy. And then next to him is an older woman, probably in her late 60s. She has very noble hair, as in it looks like a ship. It is white, but it looks like a cloud of ship. It looks like a galley.
Yes, big sails, the roads, the oars.
And she has on this finery with these jewels and everything else. And sitting next to her is obviously a bodyguard / servant. She is looking around like she's in the ninth circle of hell. This is definitely not a place she wants to be. And Tommy looks like he is the next level down from her in that ninth circle of hell. He's not happy at all. And he sees you and goes, oh, friends, come join us. Please come join us.
Yeah, it's like we're all kind of covering our faces, you know.
Yeah, we try not to, like, he acknowledges us, but we do not acknowledge him back.
Okay.
Wyman does.
Okay.
Okay, so, if Wyman does, I feel like Tessa does, like, a wave, like an enthusiastic one.
Oh my goodness, y'all, I love you.
If I have ranks in nobility, what do I know about her?
So the nobility has different levels of prosperity. Mm-hmm. There are the really down and out nobles who will eat off gold plates but won't sell them because, like, they'll eat like porridge and rats off these things because they have no money. They have tattered clothes and everything else, but they won't sell anything because
title but no money.
Yeah, the title but no money. They want the status. This is not one of those situations. She is a very well-to-do woman with a lot of money and is very well known throughout high society.
She does have an older brother, but he doesn't have any heirs. So Tommy is in line to receive everything, all of the family's wealth. She is definitely a very persnickety person who demands everything be done in a certain way, and that is it.
And I would have definitely spent some time in the bathhouse looking at those two rings. I assume neither of them are House Sage or another house that I'm interested in.
I will say that one of them is a house that you're interested in.
Okay. All right.
It's a House Solary or something like that. Mm. Solary. Mm. It definitely shocks you when you see it. That is the one ring that doesn't speak to you for some reason.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Yeah, I think Vimond will put on as much charm as they have, which they do have ranks in, and put on as noble a bearing as they can, and will kind of confidently step forward, assuming that everyone else is either going to follow or look
the other way
elsewhere. Yeah.
Okay.
Like take up positions by the door, watch out. Like, Vimond trusts the Thieves Guild to know what they're doing.
Awesome.
Okay, Tessa, you see Vimond step forward. Are you going to follow suit, like you said, or hang back?
I'm really just there as backup. I kind of like look at the bodyguard, and if everyone's going to take a seat, I probably sit like across from them. Otherwise, I kind of just back everybody up. I'm not like dying to take the lead here.
All right. Sounds good. Reginald, what are you going to do?
Reginald purposely is not dressed in his finery, and he's got his hair kind of over his face a little bit because these are lambs waiting to be fleeced later. So he wants to be sure that they don't recognize him. And so he's just going to kind of hang to the side, like at another table, but keep an ear to what's going on.
Okay. Mirko, what are you going to do?
Very, very similar. Sitting at an adjacent table with an earshot. They've taken their newly dry cleaned, fantasy dry cleaned feather hat off their head to really kind of blend in with these folk here. They're never dressed very richly. So they look for a table where it's like, who here works for some of the nobility? We're gonna gamble with them. We'll keep an ear on that table right there.
Sounds good. Okay. So you all take up your positions, and Tommy looks completely confused because he's like, wait a minute. And he starts to speak up a little bit, and his mother goes, Tommy, be quiet. The adults need to speak now.
Vimond, she looks at you hard.
She goes, huh, I'm sorry. You look like someone I know. You've got a, Anyway, I heard you helped my son get back his ring that he lost in a gambling house.
With ranks and nobility, I'm sure I would know. Is it polite to stand it until being told to sit?
She literally tells you to sit. She's like, sit down, sit down. So yeah, usually yes, you'd wait for permission to sit.
Cool, yeah.
But in this situation, you are in a commoner's bar and she wants the fuck out of here as quick as possible.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so with that knowledge, yeah, Vimond will quickly sit and we'll just meet her eyes for a long moment and just say, I have one of those faces. Yes, we were able to procure your ring. And we'll look at Tommy and put on kind of that scolding parent look and be like, you really should be more careful.
Oh, thank God. Thank you so much. Tommy, shut up. Now, obviously, was there any problems? Is this going to come back on my ne'er-do-well son? Or was everything smooth?
We were very discreet. We were not discovered.
Excellent. Last thing I need is any more scandal from my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the reason I am here is because Tommy spilled the beans on why his signet ring was missing, as if I would overlook such an egregious turn of etiquette. Put your signet ring on, Tommy. Anyway, I may need your help on another matter. I was hoping that we could discuss a job. Is that what you call it? I'm unfamiliar with how people do things outside of my own community.
They will nod and still look as polite and respectful as they can while saying, yes, but typically one will conclude one's business before starting the next one. And they'll hold up the ring. But they will do it discreetly, so it's not obvious to the whole bar.
I believe the terms of the deal were that you would keep whatever was in the safe, and my son would get his ring back. So to conclude the business, all that needs to be done is the handing over of said ring.
Which I will be glad to do when the other are met, which is payments of gold.
Looks Tommy in the eye.
Tommy looks at his mother. Mom, I'm really sorry. I did promise them a small amount of gold. And Tommy's mother looks at him as if fire was raining down from God's hand. Goes, well, she looks around. Unfortunately, I did not bring my money purse with me. I did not realize that there would have to be an exchange of currency, but I will do this.
She then takes off her brooch, which is jewel encrusted and beautiful and obviously worth a lot of money.
And she goes, here, this should be more than enough for you and your friends.
Friend. And just nods to Tessa as if the two of them did the job alone.
Oh, sorry. Tommy had said there were four of you. Four of you showed up, and I thought you were all together in a party.
I do not do parties.
They will kind of take the brooch and turn it so that, like, as if they're examining it, but it's mostly so Reggie and Mirko can see it. And they're just going to wait for some sort of audio cue as they look at it thoughtfully to see, like, if these two are down for it.
You get a nod, like a very terse nod from Mirko that you see.
Yeah. And I you know, as I'm sipping my beer, I just kind of like a knowing little blink.
We'll glance at Tessa, make a big show of it.
I'm so sorry, but what you get back is just a really excited face that she's being included. And they just nod like, yeah, that is a brooch.
Correct.
Vyman will give them like kind of that warm, almost parental smile that mostly, yes, to make her feel good, but mostly for the mother. And then we'll nod and pocket that and like stealthily with their hand kind of cupped over it, move the signet ring across the table. They're not making a big display of moving this across, and nod and say,
thank you. I believe that satisfactorily concludes our arrangement. What more help can we offer?
Tessa, when you say that, Vyman, Tessa looks over at you and being so encouraged, kind of looks at you, smiles, and then looks back at everyone and says, I don't mean to speak out of turn, but that's not going to look good on me, personally. I'm not really fancy enough to be able to carry it off, if that makes sense. And I'm just wondering, y'all are very, you know, fancy and reputable people, very noble folks, and I just want to make sure that we're not going to get, like, I don't know, looked down upon if we have to, like, fence this. Or perhaps, you know, trade it with someone if we need things for our domicile, if that makes sense. They're, like, trying to speak as fancy as possible so these people will understand what she's saying.
She looks at you for a second and goes, you do not need to worry. None of my ilk will look any further down on you than they already are.
Oh, all right. Good. I just want to make sure we're not going to be looked at as, like, thieving types because, you know, as you can see, we're on the up and up. I just want to keep it that way, you know? Just got to look out for the little people.
Your pedigree is well known from your actions.
Thank you, ma'am. Oh, they do a bow.
Vyman just steely-faced, like, understands all of this, is explaining none of it. Uh-huh. Frozen smile.
She has several points in sway.
I'm so glad she's happy.
Now then, to business so that we can get out of this, or I can get out of this abysmal place.
How well versed are you in the world of scented candles?
Tessa opens their mouth to speak excitedly, looks at Vimond, and then is like, oh, maybe that was enough for today. And just like nods like, you take this one. Probably not me.
Yeah, would I know? Like,
I'm going to say that you all have heard rumblings that the scented candle craze has kind of picked up with the posher people. It's not to the point where it's like the tulips, you know, where people are like trading tulips or anything, but people are fighting for exclusive scented candles like Apple, a la mode and stuff like that. A lot of rich people spending a lot of money on stuff that doesn't really cost a lot to make is what the commoners are saying.
So like Beanie Baby craze level?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Beanie Baby craze level.
Do you look confused, Vimond? Or are you not belying?
No, I think, like, I just wanted to make sure out of character.
That makes sense.
Because if you looked confused, Tessa would whisper to you.
I think, Vimond, you see calculations, right? Of exactly how much do I say, exactly how much do I not. They will kind of glance over and meet your eyes as if, you know, are you absolutely gagging to answer this? Because they will let you.
No. It's okay. Nothing good can come of that in this moment. They would only want to talk to you.
So they nod and meet her eyes again. And I know they are highly sought after, and some can be quite valuable. Are you a collector?
Well, at this point, yes. We've started trading different ones, and some of us are even speculating on how much the candles are worth. We buy them for, let's say, 40 coin, and suddenly a scent that has been discontinued becomes 150 coin, if you can find it. So there are people with stacks of them inside their homes. Anyway, my brother has become an issue. 3 weeks ago, he was supposed to give me my monthly stipend of the family money. He being the head of the household now that Papa has died, I have to look to him for my inheritance. Now, he is 87 years old, and I am worried that he's mismanaging my money, and I've heard rumors that he has possibly invested heavily in the candlestick craze. This worries me a great deal. Not because I don't think that the candles are worth it. It's because those should be mine. He's slowly getting older, and I'm afraid of our family inheritance being whittled away before Tommy can take over. Now, here's my proposal to you, since you seem to know how to get in and out of a place. I would like you to go into my brother's house, his manor, and I would like you to break into his vault. And I don't want you to steal anything quite yet, but I want an inventory of what he has. Is the gold still in there? Are the paintings still in there? Is Mother's wedding dress still in there? I will be very upset if my future daughter-in-law cannot wear the family wedding dress. And also, what scents of candles does he have?
Forgive me, I am familiar with the candles, but I have not invested personally. When you buy them in large quantities, do they come labeled? Are we expected to sniff every one?
They are labeled, of course. They have a short list of numbers and symbols, and then they have the scent underneath them. The one that I'm most interested in is the honey apple pie candlestick. There was only 100 of them made, and the rapscallions at the warehouse decided to cut the run short. It was supposed to be 2,000. And it has shot up in price to an astronomical level, and I've heard my brother possibly could have it. So I want to see if he's spending our money on such things, and if so, that particular candle I would like. But I don't want you to take anything yet, because if you take anything, that son of a bitch will know, and he'll be on to us.
So you want us to do inventory of your family's vault, but not steal anything, and forgive me, but we are to steal nothing, and you have not been given your monthly stipend. How are we to be compensated?
Well, since I seem to be running low on brooches, I guess there's something else that I could offer you from my manor that I'm not completely destitute. It's just pocket money is a bit thin right now, unfortunately.
Understand.
So, how much would it cost me to do such a... I know you'd have to go and look at the place and... did you say, Tommy? Case the joint, Mom. Yes, case the joint. I know you'd have to do all of those things. So how much would that cost me? I have dresses full of diamonds that we can pilfer through if we must.
So yes, as I have nobility, I would like to spend a point in nobility to say, well, if you are willing to provide us with some information that will make it easier, such as layouts of the house, which I'm sure you know, just so we do not attract any attention you do not want, could something in equivalent of 20,000 gold?
I mean, I could do that. Definitely. These are hard times, and one must spend money to make money, you know, denarii and all that.
You'll have the most accurate inventory of the vault. Also, if you have any useful information about any other's nobility, we could also trade a bit in information.
Yes, I feel we could do that. Now, I must tell you, the reason I have not gone in and just done this myself, forced my way through the doors of the castle and said, hey, recognize me for who I am, is because my brother's staff is quite young. He likes to hire young, virile men to watch after him. I have no idea why, but...
I'm sure I do not either.
It makes no sense to me, but it is what it is. And they keep me out. They tell me that he's busy. He seems to be taking many baths. I don't know. It's very difficult to get in there. So you should know that I don't want any of them hurt. Because even though they are annoying, they also seem like nice people. And they're good to my brother. So try to avoid any conflict if you can.
My friend here is a nice person, aren't you? Looks at Tessa.
Me? Oh, yes. I've been told I'm pretty nice. It's a kind of something I'm rather good at. I'm not too nice, though. If you cross me, you will get a stern talking to.
You are exactly as nice as you need to be.
That's right. Thank you, Vyman.
Very annoyed that she just used their name. But hides it.
She goes, well, perfect. And gives you instructions on where her manor is and where his manor is. And says, if you do this for me, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. I'll help you out with whatever information you may need. As long as we understand something. There are certain people that I wish to vex and others that I do not.
I want to see no harm come to your reputation nor friends.
Thank you. Now, before I explode into a... whatever that smell is, I need to leave this building now. So it has been good to meet you all. And she puts out her hand daintily to you. Vymond, it was good to meet you.
Vymond is old and will take her hand, kiss the back of it, courtly bow.
Huh, strange. You have elegance that so many people don't. Your face is very... I'm going to have to figure out where I've seen you before. It's somewhere. And then she walks out.
Sits back down, dusts off hands.
As Tommy is the last, like, following, he goes, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Follows out.
Do not try to cheat us again.
Oh, I wasn't trying to cheat you. She's like a bear. She just appears out of nowhere and strikes. And it's very aggressive. Anyway, I'm going to stay out of the tangle. I promise. I don't want to get... I don't want to get entangled in anything, right? Right?
Very funny.
Okay, I'm leaving.
Leave.
He leaves. So I'm going to assume all of you go to the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Diamond will hand over the brooch to let everyone look at it.
Not a bad piece.
I'm sure we have a place we know where we could sell it and get some good money for it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just through the guild. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, we all maybe know, like, a good pawn shop, but no, the guild absolutely is our hookup. We get great discounts there.
Yeah.
Or more money? I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Mirko is going to kind of like flip the brooch around in their fingers. Okay, well, we have a new mission, and I do not trust either of them. Aus Sage, not to be trusted.
They do have money, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have an idea. You know, I don't always talk like this. When I'm on the job, I can talk really posh if I need to. I dress up as a candlestick expert and go talk to the brother. Maybe getting in that way. That way I can case the place. I can see where the inventory, you know, see where the weak spots are that we can get in and out.
We should also check his employees to see if you are his type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
We could come in with some candlestick stock. We can have a couple with us, bring in a box, knock on the door, ask if they want to buy. You know, the typical mansion-to-mansion sale.
I am not sure this is the crowd for that.
No?
You'd want an appointment.
Ah, okay. I've never done any of that.
Right. I'd be acting more as a candlestick broker.
Ah, okay. Much more expensive.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm going to say that you all continue to have this conversation for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a good place for us to stop. Not everyone has to be a cliffhanger, but we have set ourselves up for the next part of our story. Thank you all so much for playing. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the story so far. Let us find out where all of these amazing people are. So let us start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. I have been Candace the Magnificent. You can find me at the Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Candace the Magnificent everywhere else. Check me out in Frequencies, which is a kids on bikes game about the horrors of being a creative in modern times, as well as a host of other things you can find on my socials.
Hello, hello. I have been your non-binary Busy Bee. You can find me on all social media as BZelda_. I think currently you can check out, I've got two YouTube series going with Six Sides of Gaming. And yeah, make sure you follow me.
Hey, all. I am Kay Purcell. You can find me across the internet at KDamphyr, KAYDAMPHYR. And you can find me on my channel at Chaotic Wholesome Presents, where we do all sorts of TTRPGs, actual plays, and the Table Talk Show. Also find me every Wednesday on the Emergency Power Podcast, which is a homebrew Starfinder campaign.
Hey, I'm Michelle. You can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing and wonderful sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
Thank you. I'm Wes Otis. I am at Plate Mail Games on all the socials. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories, the number 12, and then Sided Stories. On all the socials, or you can find us on our website, 12sidedstories.com. If you want to help out the show, definitely join us over on Patreon, which we have a bunch of stuff over there for you to listen to that is exclusive to Patreon. Join our Discord, come talk to us. And yeah, so thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time, or you'll hear us next time on more Candlestick Crimes. Bye, everybody.
Bye.